Last week, the South Australian Royal Commission handed down its final report into the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. As expected, the report accused the Basin Authority of gross mismanagement. Now, scientists and Aboriginal groups are calling for more Indigenous involvement in the managing of the basin. With the health of the Murray-Darling at an historic low, how can traditional knowledge help our ailing river system? Daniel Butler found out.
The author of the report into the Murray-Darling Basin Plan, Brett Walker SC, is not sparing in his criticism of the Murray-Darling Authority, the body that is supposed to implement the plan. He accuses the authority of protecting economic interests over environmental ones, political cowardice, and outright unlawful activity. Mr. Walker is also scathing in his assessment of the authority's engagement with the community, or rather, the lack thereof. For example, farming communities around the basin were not properly consulted. And nor were Indigenous communities, who live on country, dependent on the Murray-Darling River system. Indigenous groups are calling for the traditional knowledge to play a greater role in the management of the basin.
We're the driest inhabited continent on Earth. We have one of the oldest living cultures on the planet. But that living culture and knowledge system doesn't actually have a say in where water flows or goes.
This is Bradley Mogridge, a Kamilaroi man who works in Indigenous water research at the University of Canberra. In his experience, Indigenous knowledge is not acknowledged by the basin states either.
I used to work for New South Wales. I used to lead the Aboriginal Water Initiative, which was an Aboriginal water unit. The leadership there actually pretty much disbanded the Aboriginal water unit. And they went from 10 Aboriginal staff to 3.
As it stands, the basin plan does not allow for Indigenous peoples to reclaim water. Mr. Mogridge's research focuses on how basin water can be reallocated for cultural and economic use.
But they should have the opportunity to have the right to water and have the right to do what they want with it. You know, whether they trade it on the temporary market or they use it to leave in the river so they can catch a fish, or they put it into a lagoon and, you know, generate tourism, or they might look at aquaculture projects, you know, that is, you know, water, or they might have properties that actually have irrigated agriculture or grazing, you know, they might invest in that.
While state and federal governments and the Basin Authority itself grapple with the report, people in the communities that rely on the river system are feeling desperate.
It's more than desperation. It's, you know, it's actually our livelihood. It's our community's survival.
This is Brendan Adams. He's lived in Wilcannia for 17 years, works at the local radio station, and is part of the Indigenous community there, the Barkidji people. The name Barkidji means people of the river. Brendan knows firsthand the struggles facing the community on the Murray River.
Our community prides of itself with rugby league and sports, and we have to travel 200 kilometres, to play sports. Thus meaning that it is becomes an OH&S issue for our community that we cannot actually have rugby league played here. So water doesn't, having no water here doesn't just impact on just our immediate livelihood and of course the culture of the Barkidji people, but it also destroys the our social functions and our community gathering and programs. And, you know, and that's a big gap.
It might seem a simple example, but Mr. Adams emphasises the importance of sport in a remote community for social cohesion.
Now, when that is taken away, our young people in particular have now got one less thing that they can have positively in the community. And due to that, depression, crime, and drugs and alcohol becomes the main issue.
The Royal Commission report blames successive state and federal governments and institutions for what it describes as a failure to protect the Murray-Darling. In light of this failure, Indigenous communities believe it is time for their traditional knowledge to be given more weight. Brad Mogridge agrees.
The other aspect is, you know, bringing Indigenous knowledge up to a level that's comparative, you know, that allows, say, the science and traditional knowledge being at the same level rather than our old people's knowledge seen as, you know, myth and legend. Aboriginal knowledge is a science, you know. We've tested this environment. We know the methodologies out there on how to protect country, and we've replicated it so time and time again, and that's all part of the survival of the oldest living culture on the planet.
Brad Mogridge from the University of Canberra, ending that report by Daniel Butler.